Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Yes.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. As close to a must-win last night for the basketball Buckeyes as it gets in February, Ohio State beat USC 89-82 at the shot. Bruce Thornton led with 21 points and 6 assists. He scored the last 9 points for Ohio State. Buckeyes improved to 16-8 overall. They're 8-6 in Big Ten play and will play number 15 Virginia Saturday night in Nashville. The 21 points for Thornton yesterday moves him to 5th on OSU's all-time scoring list. He's 40 points behind Jerry Lucas and William Buford. As for the 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad, the Buckeyes will host number 20 Maryland Sunday at 2 o'clock. And it's day 9 of Olympic competition at the Milan Cortina Winter Games. Zach Wierenski and USA Men's Hockey begin Group C play today at 3:10 against Elvis Merzlikins and Team Latvia. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then, he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
That's still live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Paul Feinbaum an hour early. He will join us in 28 minutes from now. 11:30, Mike DeCourcy, our first visit of the season with Mike. We'll do a little bracketology with him. Take a look at where the Buckeyes stand after a big win last night. We will open the mailbag up coming up at 10 o'clock. So you have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. We have Olympic hockey today as well for Team USA. Zach and the boys trying to get things started on the right foot. Get you set for that one as well. Here's I saw the clip that was making the rounds from Brother Bone about not wanting this Buckeye basketball team to make the NCAA tournament, and I understand where he's coming from with that. So where Brother Bone is coming from with that is he wants real change in the program. So how does real change manifest? Usually it's some sort of house cleaning or some sort of call to action for boosters in today's day and age, a call to action of boosters of, hey, we're going to take basketball very seriously now. But how does it even begin? And then what's the end game of it? Like, does it go so far as to, do you got to fix the arena too? Like, do you have to do all of these things to get Buckeye basketball into, you know, that level? And I always lean on Scooney Penn on this. And what he always said was, no, not blue blood, but right below. You should be right below. You should be in that next rung of teams that are consistently in the mix. I disagree with Brother Bone on the notion of this team not making the big dance. I disagree with it from the perspective of the players on the team. And I understand where he's coming from with it. But I would like to see Bruce Thornton play a couple of games in March Madness. And I would like to see this team get hot and make a run to a Sweet 16. Is this a national championship team? No. But is there joy in sports fandom in seeing your team play above their skis? I would say that there is. And in fact, that's some of the most fun that you can have as a fan, is to watch your team play better than their capabilities. And that's something that this team could do should it get into March. There's a lot of work. The win last night certainly helped. But I can tell you this too, when it comes to college basketball, and this is, I think, where Brother Bone is coming from here. And it's something that I certainly understand. We haven't had it in a long time. When your team is marching through March and you're along for the ride, as a fan or a media member, family of player, even if you're doing it from afar, like we would be doing now, if they were to somehow make a run to the Final Four or whatever, you'd be hard-pressed to have more fun in your sports fandom. There is a touring carnival effect that happens when you get on one of these. And Reese, you lived this with your beloved Bobcats. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
A great many times, you're the team that maybe there's some magic here is so much fun. I'd want that for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And there's a procedure to it. And, you know, if you think of it from the Big Ten perspective, it usually starts with the Big Ten tournament and you make a little bit of a run through that. And that's infectious. That's in one town. I mean, forever it was in Indy. Sometimes it's in Chicago. I don't even know where it is this year. Could be in Las Vegas for all I know. And you get hot and you win in that quarterfinal and then you get to that semifinal and all of a sudden you're playing for a Big Ten championship and you're on CBS and you're the game before Selection Sunday and everything that goes with that. And there's juice to it. And then all of a sudden you sit around and you wait and you see, okay, where are we playing? Oh, we're going to Pittsburgh. Okay, well, let's go to Pittsburgh. We got to travel to Pittsburgh tomorrow. We start play on Thursday. You're going to have a practice on a Wednesday. We need availability. We got to be there on Wednesday. Game starts Thursday. If you win that, you play Saturday. Okay, but then what does that feed to? Oh, it feeds to Boston. Okay, well, do we have hotels in Boston? What are we going to have? Are we going to drive or are we going to fly to Boston? What's that going to be like? What's that look like? Well, we're going to play on a Friday, Sunday. Okay, so if we get to the Final Four in New Orleans, then that means we will have beaten Syracuse and we will have beaten Louisville, and then we'll get to the Final Four, and that's in New Orleans. The Final Four is Saturday. Those first practices, you're going to arrive on Thursday. Those first practices are Friday, and now you're at the Final Four. And a month passes, and it's the most fun you can have ever. It really is. It's awesome. And if you're lucky enough to be a fan to go on one of those voyages with your team, if you're lucky enough, like I was for several years, to be able to cover those type of events with your team, it's the best. It is the best. And you can talk yourself into anything. You can get in a moment and say, by God, Ohio can beat North Carolina. That can happen. We hit a couple of shots and it can happen. And do you dare to dream big enough? Oh, we're going to go win a national title. No, you're just trying to survive in advance. And on any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the NCAA tournament, anything can happen. And there's magic to that. That is something that I don't want this group of players to be deprived of. The magic of hope.
The Bobcats went to overtime of that Sweet 16 game against UNC.
Yep.
And my friends and I did the exact same thing you're talking about, is trying to follow OU from the first round where they beat Michigan. The opening round of the 2012 NCAA tournament to go to St. Louis and play North Carolina. And when you watch those two teams walk on the court, it was varsity versus JV.
Yeah.
But a lot happened that went the way of the Bobcats to make it a close game late and then go into overtime.
Yes.
Now, overtime didn't go the way of OU, but I look at that team in 2012 with DJ Cooper a lot like I look at this Ohio State squad in terms of if they can get hot and they can get the right matchup, there's fun to be had. You've got to get there first.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would not want them to make the postseason, and you can extrapolate this to any sport, not make the postseason so you can do and have a harder conversation at the end of the regular season, I think is ludicrous.
So I understand where Brother Bone was coming from, being a negative fan myself. Now, I don't think I'm as negative as Brother Bone, but I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But with this Ohio State basketball team, if they don't make the tournament, I still don't believe Jake Diebler's going anywhere. And if you think Jake Diebler's the problem, if you think Jake Diebler is all of the problem, I think you're crazy. Because I think there's a lot more than Jake Diebler. And I've been a big believer in Jake Diebler. I had some questions after that Michigan game with some of the effort that I saw there and whatnot. They come back. They get a win. They supposed to win at home last night. Good job out of them for getting that win. But I understand the premise. But as much as I've disliked Kevin Stefanski over the years, as much as I disliked David Bell, who was the manager of the Reds, I don't believe I ever wished my team to lose. I wanted them to win in spite of those guys. As much as I disliked them, I still wanted them to win. I wanted them to prove me wrong. And I think to not want Ohio State to get to the tournament is a little crazy. I understand the premise, though, that there are things here that you want fixed, and you think the only way they're going to get fixed is if they don't hit their end goal.
Yeah, and again, like I think that you're talking about a decade, really a decade. I mean, I said this yesterday, and then it kind of makes you feel old if you're my age. But you know, it's been 11 seasons since even D'Angelo Russell played here. I mean, it's a long time, you know, that you've been since you now. Holtman had a couple of teams. I think he had a 2 seed at one point. Is that the team that lost to Oral Roberts?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Kate of HD
Smith.
And those guys. Yeah. So like they, you know, and you can get upset in the NCAA tournament. That happens too. But for a guy like Thornton, who's been here 4 years and is a 4-year starter, for those type of guys, I hope that they can find a way to do this. And what happened last night was a first step, the most recent first step in the right direction to be able to do that. And then once you get in, once that happens, then you can ignite that hope and you can ignite what happens if we do this and then this happens. And boy, that's not that bad of a matchup. And we actually aren't matched up with Arizona. Maybe we'll be okay here. These guys don't have quite the length that would be a problem for this Buckeye team. So that's the magic that I want the fandom to get back. Is that part of it. And when you do that, then that feeds into the next season, that feeds into tickets, that feeds into atmosphere. Bake, you talked yesterday about the Shot is a great place. It's a great place when they win. I don't think you said it's a great place, but you said it can have a great environment. And when they're really good, it does. When they're really good, like a top 10 team in America, it does have a great environment because 19,000 people are loud. And there is something to that. And so what this team did last night was win a game they had to win. Had to win. Guess what? There's another one Saturday. They're essentially in the NCAA tournament right now. They got to win 2/3 of their game the rest of the way to find themselves in this thing. Otherwise, they're going to be bubble in, bubble out, and it's going to come down to that last weekend. And as soon as there are upsets in those other conference tournaments, you're going to be on the outside looking in. So first step. First most recent step last night. Another one's going to be needed on Saturday. We'll continue with this. Lots to get to. As I mentioned, Olympic hockey starts today for Zach Werenski and Team USA. We will get you set for that. Paul Feinbaum coming up in 18 minutes. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes head to Nashville for a battle with Virginia.
Live fan coverage starts Saturday night at 7.
Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today with our daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, expected to be partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 20s. And then we end the work week with more sunshine and daytime highs climbing into the low 40s. We'll be with partly sunny skies on Valentine's Day with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday. The Buckeye basketball team, a winner last night, 89-82 over USC. It got a little light, a little dicey, rather, I should say, late in the game. But in the end, an and one from Bruce Thornton clinches it, and the Buckeyes got a win that they had to have. This was the most recent must win for Jake Diebler and the boys, and they responded well after a pretty poor performance over the weekend against Michigan. Here's Jake on his team's response.
Yeah, I think it was a great response. You know,
Looking at film, I thought we looked a little fatigued the game before today, so we had to make some adjustments. You know, with what we did in the two days leading up to this one, we're in the middle of a whatever five games or however many days stretch that's really compressed. So our time has to be spent with great wisdom, efficiency, and sometimes doing less is more. And so we took some time, one of the days, to do that and had some conversations, talked about, you know, owned what we weren't good enough in that game. And that's what I think I'm proud of. Our response was the things that we knew we needed to get better, we showed improvement today. Weren't perfect in those areas, but leadership and connection being a big one. You saw previous game, we tried to solve things throughout the flow of the game by ourselves. Today, it was much more collective and collaborative effort, and I think that's a big step forward for us.
This is one they had to have. They got Virginia on Saturday down in Nashville. Do you guys ever get anybody reach out to you on why this is being played in Nashville? Have you heard anything? Just random?
Yeah. They're doing a Nashville Hoops showcase, and the organizers of the event gave Ohio State a check.
So, and these are the only two teams, right?
That's
it's just Ohio State and Virginia, which is so random.
They want to make this a yearly thing for Valentine's Day weekend, or I guess maybe not next year because it's a Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
But they want to do something non-conference in the middle of the season, and this is that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really stupid.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. I think it's really stupid.
Really dumb.
Maybe like the Nashville Sports Commission or whatever is like, we got no Predators games right now during the Olympic break. Let's get some hoops teams down here.
So the calendar does work out to where Bridgestone Arena sits idle.
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli's not coming in and saving the day for their ticket sales. This won't either, because it's going to be as sterile as it gets. But watch it on Fox here on The Fan.
Can you... How far down the list do you think they had to get of teams that were on their wish list to end up at Ohio State, Virginia?
Very. Virginia, maybe a little higher, because that's what, a decent team in the ACC. And so
they won a national championship in the last decade, but they don't have the fan base that Ohio State does. And if you're trying to drive people into Nashville, my guess is your first wish list was Kentucky. So you started Kentucky
or Tennessee.
And then Carolina, and then Duke and Tennessee and Kansas and... You know, how far down do you get before you end up at randomly Ohio State and Virginia?
How's the OSU alumni base in Nashville?
I feel like there's Ohio State alumni base everywhere.
Probably every, yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I guess it would be a fun place, like if you were going to turn it into a date night. But like, can you imagine going to your significant other and saying, hey, I got an idea. We're going to go to Nashville for Valentine's Day. Are we going to eat at one of Ruby's places? We're going to eat at Husk. What are we going to do? You're going to have hot dogs. We're going to go to a college basketball game. Come again?
You'll probably go. You'll just be single. So
you're going to have a heck of a Valentine's time in Tootsie's before and after the game, I'm sure.
Have a great time. You know, I've never spent any real time in Nashville. I've been through it, but I've never spent like real time there. So
I've been to a couple Jackets Predators games. We were down there for a couple days. I will say, I think the most fun we had, it was after the game.
Okay.
And everybody but me and my buddy were, because we're driving back the next day. So everybody went back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
I think it was like 12:30 at night.
Okay.
So we started on the corner and we're like, we're going in every bar.
Oh,
having one drink and seeing how many we can get through. I think we got to 7 or 8 before it was closing time.
You got through 7 or 8, though.
It was fun.
What a man of the people. Just out there.
Just trying all the establishments out.
Getting into some honky-tonks. Having the time of your life. Last night, a must-win. Saturday, a must-win. Diebler, Jake talked about that post-game, about a crucial win, and obviously for multiple different reasons.
It feels very, very crucial. You know, it's a team with similar metrics, and you know, it's a home game, similar standings in the Big Ten, like all that stuff, right? Which, again, we're going to keep facing as the year goes on. I think most importantly, results are critical right now. Take that aside. Most importantly, our guys responded, all right, in a big way. And it responded with good physicality, responded with utilizing each other to fix things during the game. I thought our connection was better than the last game. So, you know, listen, it's a Big Ten game in February, so there's going to be runs. It's going to be challenging moments. But our guys stuck together, and our leadership was really good down the stretch.
Yeah, it was. And so the Buckeyes now find themselves 8-6 in the league, a full game ahead of USC. USC is, by most people's estimations, in the tournament. Looks like a 10 or 11, depending on. So that's, you know, one of the last ones in. So right now you got a full game lead on them in terms of your conference record. You are a game behind them in terms of your overall record. But if you look in conference play, you are now aligned with Indiana at 8-6. You're a half game back of Iowa at 8-5. And then it starts to get, you know, you're two games back at UCLA, Wisconsin, so forth and so on. And then the question becomes, okay, well, how many bids is the Big Ten going to get in all of those conversations? But you can't even begin to have that talk until you beat USC. And so you did. And if you can take care of Virginia on the weekend, then that checks another box in that right now you do not have a top 25 win. You beat Virginia over the weekend. Now we're cooking with gas. Now we got a top 25 win and now a little bit of momentum. Boy, speaking at this, I'm not watching the Big Ten college basketball scene the way that I would the football scene, but I had no idea Oregon was 1-12 in the league, that they had just fallen off a cliff as a program. 1-12.
So what made that, like, West Coast trip? You kind of needed that one.
Yeah. 'Cause
with USC last night, they're without their best player, and so it became an absolutely, like, yes, go win this game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Oregon.
They're 1-12. Washington's 4-10 in the league. Like, those teams have made tournaments.
They're crawling into the conversation of, do they regret the move?
We can do that right now, because I actually had this as a note. So after our game was over last night, the kids were looking for another game, and the game that they settled on, because it was competitive, was Cal and Syracuse. So Cal played Syracuse last night in February in a conference game. It was an ACC conference game. There looked to be, at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and Syracuse is bad this year, there looked to be about 76 people in the dome, roughly thereabout. And I'm watching Cal play, and they ran out of gas. They lost in double overtime they lost. I'm watching Cal play against Syracuse, and I'm just thinking to myself, in what world does this make sense to anybody? This is a Wednesday in February. Do you know how difficult it is to get from Berkeley to Syracuse, New York? Like, just if you tried to do it like commercial air travel, how many connections is that? It's San Francisco to Chicago. And then is it Chicago? You're going to have to hit another. I'm guessing there's not a Chicago to Syracuse. There's probably another spot you got to hit to get up there. And you just say, well, yeah, that's a conference game. And what in the hell have we done to this sport? You know, why could somebody not have stood up at some point and just say, hey, let's just do this for football. We don't need to do this for basketball. It is an outright debacle. Those teams I was just curious, because I mentioned Oregon and Washington struggling as much as they are in the Big Ten. Cal is 5-7 in the ACC. Stanford, by the way, also in the ACC, they're 5-7 too. Both of those teams struggling a little bit. The Beloved Pony 6-5. But how is any of this? How is there any way that any of this lasts beyond the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, financially, how do you make this work when you're one of these schools who are traveling across the country to play regular season? By the way, this is a revenue generator. Men's college basketball is a revenue generator. How does this make sense in the other sports?
It doesn't, but I hesitate to think anybody's going to come up with a solution. I feel like the last 5 years are a precursor to the next 5 years, where everybody lists all the issues.
Yeah.
Talks about all the issues, says this needs fixed, this needs fixed, but nobody comes up with a solution that enough people say, yeah, that's the fix. Let's do that. Like, this just gets crazier.
It really does. Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm going to pull this up really quick on the Cal front. All right. So they were at Syracuse last night, and oh God, Lord. Well, at least they did. So they're at Syracuse, and then Saturday. So they're at least keeping them on the East Coast. They're at Boston College on Saturday. So you probably would have been in New York. You probably would have been at Syracuse since yesterday. You stay on the East Coast. You're at Boston College on Saturday, and then you don't play again until a week from Saturday at home against Stanford. But by the way, you close the season with a nice little road trip to Atlanta and Winston-Salem if you're the Cal Bears. That's how this finishes. They've already played at Florida State, at Miami. I mean, God. At any point, adults in the room could have stopped any of this, and instead, that's not what you get. On the Buckeye sides of things, though, next time out will be against Virginia on Saturday down in Nashville. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Indeed it is, and he joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I miss 1 week, and all of a sudden Ohio State's not playing Alabama. I mean, this is what happens, buddy. Is 1 week off, and now we're not playing, and that's headlines everywhere. Do you ever, when you do these hits like you do with us and other places around the country, as you're saying something, are you like, oh, that's going to go?
Yeah, Bo, I think you're better off not thinking about it. What's interesting about, I used to act naive. I would tell my friends, I can't believe they're doing all that, but I am in the business as you are. The most interesting thing about what I said last week is the interpretation and the misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. A lot of headlines up your way, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. SEC waving the white flags. What was interesting is there was a write-up in Tuscaloosa in something called, I know you subscribe to this, the Bama Hammer. And the Bama Hammer said Feinbaum is partially right but completely wrong about the rationale. He said, they said that I was right that Alabama was likely, and that's all I said, was likely to cancel the game, but I was wrong that they were running away from Ohio State. Instead, they were just in a tizzy over Sankey forcing them to go to 9 games because he had been hoodwinked by the Big Ten. Listen, Alabama's not, and by the way, Alabama has not canceled the game yet. No. Their AD has had bigger problems, like trying this farcical case in court over the basketball player. But if they do cancel it, it will have everything to do with trying to protect Kalen DeBoer as opposed to anything else.
By the way, if you have connections at the Bama Hammer, I would love a T-shirt. I think that's a hell of a name for a site. Yeah. So they can send me some gear.
It's funny. I've gotten speaking of T-shirts, I've gotten about 50 today in my outside my house saying trifecta. I don't know what that means.
Well, we wanted to send those. Yeah, we thought those would be nice for you. So I'm glad that the package was received, my friend.
Thank you very much, folks.
One of the things we really misinterpreted, though, I think all of us, was, you know, when this got to 12 or 16 or whatever, I think what I assumed, and wrongfully assumed, I think, by the time this is all said and done, is that this would allow for fan bases and for programs to take on more losses, much similar to the NFL, where you don't have to be perfect. You can lose a couple of games. Ohio State lost twice last year and won the national championship. And so my thinking was, okay, well, there's no reason to not continue to play these games. But what's going to happen is that these programs are going to say, how do we limit our risk? And I didn't see that, and I should have. That's a bad job out of me. But what is likely going to happen between Ohio State and Alabama, and what's going to happen with a lot of these places, and even Ryan Day alluded to it several times over the last year, is does it make sense to play these games if you're playing 9 conference games? And unfortunately, they're going to come down to no, and I just don't understand how that serves the good. But of course, they've been done serving the good of college football for a long time, my friend.
Yeah, but now, as you know, when this was going down, it was supposed to be in concert, 9 games for the SEC in concert with the CFP going to 16. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen, and that's really a lot of people down here are upset about that. And Sankey had to say we're not expanding until he and Petitti got on the same page. So the SEC is somewhat stuck in the middle. The other part of the SEC 9 game schedule is, you know, this coming year, 26, Alabama has 4 road games. Next year they go to 5 SEC road games. That's right. A big deal. If you're at Ohio State and you have 5 road SEC games, and you know, one of them is at Auburn, and one is here, and one can really. So I think we're just stuck in time right now, and I blame Tony Petitti for that because him trying to play games with Sankey over this 16. I don't know why they couldn't have agreed to a shorter term deal, and then you know, bake something into the keg saying we will come back in 2 years and address the second part of it. But the one thing that is happening down here is a little bit of what I said. There's not just one or two ADs in the SEC who are unhappy about this 9-game schedule. So that is going to curtail what we just got through talking about, the bonus game at the beginning of this year, which we all want to see.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Ohio State in Austin next year. I mean, that's one of the things that makes it very special. And, you know, the thing I'm curious about is, and Ross Bjork did a bunch of media up here this week, and you hear some various athletic directors. You mentioned Sankey and some of the conversations that are taking place, and I'm with you on Petitti. I don't think he represents certainly Ohio State's best interest, and I think they've let that be known to him that he doesn't necessarily. But with all of this talk of we have to do this, this, and this, maybe I'm just so skeptical of all of this at this point, Paul, but I'm dubious to think anything is going to change before the start of next season in any meaningful way. Is there any momentum to fix any one of these many issues from your neck of the woods?
No, there isn't. Charlie Baker, as soon as he issued that statement on Monday about the Charles Bediako case, he's the basketball player. He immediately went from whatever the issue of the day was to we need to get Congress acting. Yeah. And I'm actually in communication with a Senate committee right now who's I'm talking to tomorrow about yet another roundtable conversation in a month or two in Congress that they invited me. And I can assure you, nothing's happening. And you know my history this fall. With the Dalley and they're I mean Congress is in such bad shape right now that they're not about to take this on because it literally is split. It's a bipartisan issue. Democrats don't want limits and the Republicans do, so it's not happening this year. And as soon as Congress shifts, which it's very likely to do, it won't happen the next year, and then we're in an election year. So I cannot tell you how many tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars have been wasted on lobbying that have done not one bit of good and will not do any good.
When you talk to folks down there, and this is fascinating, it's amazing that this is where we're at. But when you talk to folks down there and you talk to coaches, administrators, what do you think is their prior, if they could pick one thing, like, let's get this part right. What is the one thing? And you mentioned the Bediako stuff, and that was, I suppose, a win for the NCAA. I would like to have seen just more chaos reign, and my thinking is that's the only way that there's any meaningful change. But when you talk to administrators, coaches down there, what is the one thing that people are like, we've got to fix this first? If we can just do this, this is at least an olive branch to a bigger fix.
They want to limit the portal, Bo, and it's pretty self-explanatory why. Coaches just do not want to have to go through this every year. So I don't know what likelihood they have of that because it's our COVID really screwed everything up in many ways. Mm-hmm. But by giving that bonus year, it just made it more difficult to keep track. And now the idea the athletes and their attorneys have gotten smart. They're no longer going to federal court. They're going to state court where you have these hometown judges. So I don't think they can fix that. And the one thing I don't know, and I'd be curious where the Big Ten is, can the league legislate? Because I would think they would have the power to if the commissioners really wanted to exert influence, and I don't think they do.
My hunch is they can't. I'm very curious about the Damon Williams case in Washington because, you know, he was going and then the Big Ten kind of flexed and said, we're going to fight with Washington on this. And then he ended up going back. So that was an instance where they actually held somebody to a contract that appears to have held up. So maybe there's something there in terms of some sort of structure on this. But I'm watching college basketball last night, and California is playing at Syracuse. Now, I'm not the smart in a conference game, Paul. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, sure. I've been to Berkeley. I've not been to Syracuse, but I know where it is. Like, this makes no damn sense. And I just, I don't know if there's any fixing any of it, or if there will ever be something where we just say, and I've seen Herb Street and others talk about this, hey, let's just get football together and it's its own thing. But all of these big, gigantic ideas just get thrown at a wall, and then it all just slides down the wall and there's no change to any of it.
Yeah, it's hard. I've been to both. It's hard to, you could possibly find a longer trip maybe from Southern California to Syracuse than from Northern California, but it would be splitting hairs. Let me make it easy, because every week or two I see a story, Herb Street or this one, mm-hmm. Nick Saban needs to be the czar of football, there will not be a czar of football. I hate to break it to anyone. And the reason are the two names we just got through mentioning, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey. They cannot even agree right now on whether to have a 16 or 24 team playoff. You think they're going to agree on one of the two of, okay, I'm going to let you, Tony, run college football, and I'm going to run, right, women's volleyball. That's not happening. So people quit making these suggestions to Bo and to others. It will not happen. And if it did happen, it wouldn't be one of the usual suspects, because people think Nick Saban will save mankind. Nick Saban is so far on one side of this that he would never get through, because he wants to go back to the way it used to be, the way when he could win national championships by ginning the system.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff as always. Great talking to you, pal. Appreciate you.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, Bo. Talk next week.
There he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and SEC Network, joining us on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. One coach has had enough. Pretty convincing case. You'll hear it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Men, it's the new...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
You still think...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, kids, it's your Uncle Bo. Valentine's Day is about showing her how much she means to you. And when you're buying jewelry, you don't guess, you go with the best. And that's why I trust my friends at Diamond Cellar. Whether it's a necklace, bracelet, earring, something a little more personal, Diamond Cellar makes sure you get it right. For nearly 80 years, they've helped guys find the perfect gift. Luxury designer collections, expert advice that makes the process easy, and guy to guy, no pressure, no confusion. Just great options, honest help. This Valentine's Day, give her something she'll never forget. Diamond Cellar, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, online anytime at diamondcellar.com. You still have time, guys. You still got time. It's not till Saturday. Those locations are open and ready, kids. Tell them Bo sent you. They'll take care of you. I promise you. This was pretty interesting. So I saw this morning. This is Jerome Tang. Jerome Tang is the head coach at Kansas State basketball. They've had some success. K-State has won. I mean, they've got some nice tradition. They've got some runs in the NCAA tournament. They've been high seeds before. Certainly had a great run when Huggy Bear was there, and Tang's had some success too. This year is not one of those years. They're 10-14 on the season. They're 1-10 in Big 12 play. They lost by 30 last night to Cincinnati. So you want to talk about give a damn and buy in. It's not there. Jerome Tang had an availability earlier this week, and boy, he didn't hold back.
This was embarrassing. These dudes do not deserve to wear this uniform. There will be very few of them in it next year. I'm embarrassed for the university. I'm embarrassed for our fans, our student section. You know, it is just ridiculous. We got practice at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and we will get this thing right. I have no answer, no words. So y'all got two questions. So whoever want to ask two questions, I'll answer them to the best of my ability right now. But right now, like I'm like pissed, and this is all right. Questions.
You got a problem with what he did?
Yeah, my dude, your team quit on you, but you also haven't made the tournament in 2 years. I'm looking at what they've done. They lost to Iowa State 95-61, then yesterday's game 91-62. And you've got Houston coming up, mm-hmm. like the third-ranked Cougars. You're going down to play them. And I'm not sure that's the message you want to be sending to them. And that's not the message you want to send to your team and think you've got a chance to compete on Saturday.
I don't have a problem with it. Who knows how many times he said this to the guys in private? Because I'm guessing it's been brought up. It's been said in private. So maybe this was his last resort at trying to row these kids up and get them to play. I think this is the one good thing, I believe, with everything that's going on in the college sports world now is you figure out what everyone's why is earlier. Before, there was a lot of times the pros were getting duped by guys because guys had this, they just wanted to get to the pros and they just wanted to get there and make money. And then you saw guys get there and make money and then they quit. Now you're seeing it in college. And unfortunately for him, he recruited these guys. So somehow, maybe you need to change your philosophy and your process on how you're bringing guys in. But like I said, after the Michigan game, it's the first time that I really, really, really had concerns about Jake Diebler as a head coach is because it looked like those guys quit. It looked like they weren't trying. They weren't running after rebounds. The body language was poor. Now, it seems like they worked on that a lot in between then and the USC game last night, and maybe they fixed some of that. Maybe Jerome Tang, this was his last-ditch effort at fixing it with this group of players.
I mean, this is his fourth season in Manhattan. These are your guys. And I speak to Jerome Tang. Like,
sure.
This is the team that you recruited. This is the team that you've coached up. This has been the effort they've been giving you for now the third season where they won't win 20 games. I get the point he's trying to make, but he doesn't really have much to stand on with this being his team, guys that he picked not only out of high school, but out of the transfer portal. And I just don't think this is the platform. That's not the time to have that kind of a message to them. You're just embarrassing them publicly.
I think you're both right. I think it's both. I think this is one of those ones that's in the shade of gray. My guess is he's tried everything in his power behind the scenes to reach them and couldn't. And was hoping that this Hail Mary would at least get them to play hard. And maybe they would respond to it, respond to toughness. The counter to that would be they could easily just continue to quit. And it could get even worse than it already is. And they're 1-10, so you're not going to get a whole lot worse. But you know what I wrote down as we were listening to his comments there? This is his doing. It's his doing. And we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, guys, in regard to Ohio State football. And we talked about relationships that were built in the recruiting process, in the old way of recruiting, where you got to know a family and you got to know their parents and their uncles and aunts and their friend group and what's their peer group look like. And you could recruit a certain type of human being because you would get to know them and you'd build relationships. And you remember what we said when we talked about the shift? Now everything's a shotgun marriage. You have these windows where you have to have roster changeover. You have guys coming to you saying, I need an extra $500,000. And in immediate moments, you have to say, is he worth it? And if I give him this, how does he continue to be coachable? Does he continue to be somebody who will fight, who will be the kid that I recruited? There's no way of knowing. Everything in college athletics right now is a shotgun marriage. There aren't multiple year, especially in basketball. I mean, do you know how rare Bruce Thornton is? Like a 4-year starter? You may never see that again. Never. I mean, it's just, so it's a product of, he is, all of these guys if you just apply to programs that have been good through the years, there's a lot of them where this is happening to, where you have a new roster, you're trying to make it work, and if the rowing gets tough, just throw the rows in, the oars. I mean, that's kind of where it is right now. Like, when it gets tough, who's going to fight through it? Why would I? I've already been compensated. Where's my give a damn? And you can't build those brotherhoods anymore. You can't. There's some places where you can get through it. I mean, there's, you know, a place like Kentucky, or, and even Kentucky's had their issues, but like Duke and Kansas. I mean, think of what Self is dealing with at Kansas. We talked about it earlier this week. How do you coach Darren Peterson? I don't know. And so this, it's their own doing. There is no fix for it. And my guess is what he did last night was a Hail Mary, was, God, I hope this works. But the reality is it's not. They're not going anywhere. And my hunch is the effort won't change.
I just think he would need to know better than to have that be your Hail Mary. They're not responding. This is Wyatt Wheeler, who covers Kansas State Athletics for USA Today. He says, I've covered 10 Division I men's basketball teams, 9 at Missouri State, 1 at Kansas State, 4 different coaches, no NCAA tournament appearances. I've covered a team bringing in a cryotherapy machine and nearly freezing 2 players' feet off, players robbing other students in their apartments, players leaving the team midseason, a coach being accused of sexual assault, and I capped my time at Missouri State by covering a 9-23 team. This Kansas State season has been, by far, the most dysfunctional that I've ever covered. Jerome Tang built this. So I get if he's frustrated.
It's his own doing. Yeah. He built the house.
You did this. So to come at your players like that, the way that they've been playing poorly after they play poorly again, how do you think the rest of this is going to go? Spoiler alert, not well.
No, it won't. And there's no real end in sight to any of it. So you just keep doing it and there will be changes. And the job now is coach, general manager, architect, all of it. You're doing all of those things. And there, by the way, Jerome Tang is probably paid very handsomely for it, for his work. And my guess is his seat is very, very hot. Second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off by opening up the mailbag, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Bugs are us.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Solid bounce back for the basketball Buckeyes. Bruce Thornton's 21 points and 8 assists powered Ohio State to an 89-82 win over USC last night at the Shot. 3 other Buckeyes scored in double figures, including Devin Royal, who had 19. OSU's 8-6 in conference play. They'll bump out of conference on Saturday versus number 15 Virginia in Nashville. As for the 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad, the Buckeyes will host number 20 Maryland Sunday at 2 o'clock. In the NBA last night, the Cavaliers beat the Wizards 138-113 in the Cleveland debut for James Harden. Cavs enter the All-Star break on a 5-game winning streak. And it's day 9 of Olympic competition at the Milan Cortina Winter Games. Zach Werenski and USA Men's Hockey begin Group C play today at 3:10 against Elvis Merzlikins and Team Latvia. Team USA is second in overall medal count with 13. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Thursday edition of the program. Time to open up that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
Full mailbag again today. Let's start with John. This one just came in the last couple of minutes. The subject matter is Buckeye basketball. He writes, never felt the basketball issue over the past several years has only been a program problem. Part of the issue is, with football, the support is referred to always as Buckeye Nation. The coaches, staff, the players feel it. I would consider the basketball support as Buckeye State at best. That should be considered part of the issue. That's the... you're right, but that's the chicken before the egg thing. Do you support something that doesn't win enough, or once it wins, does the support happen? So there are some places that are immune to this. Like sometimes the arena is the star. But an example of that probably most of you would cite would be Syracuse. So as I said, I watched some of Syracuse and Cal last night at the Carrier Dome, legendary program. Syracuse certainly a better basketball program than Ohio State is, and although not at the moment, and there was nobody there. Like, as fans, we're fickle. Like, we're not showing up unless you give us a reason to, and we shouldn't. This isn't charity. It's your money. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. It's up to the operations, Buckeye basketball, the Blue Jackets, the crew, all of Buckeye football. It's up to them to put a product on the field, on the court, on the ice that demands you go. I don't think you show up. People aren't going to show up until you give them a reason. There's too many other things that draw our attention, guys.
I was going to say, then wait till the Columbus Aviators open. Then you got more.
Yeah. And they'll do that. They're doing the same thing. They're trying to demand your attention. And the simplest way to do it is you can market things all you want, but the simplest way is win. If you win, they'll come. They will. This one from the great Snagglepuss. I was watching Marty and McGee yesterday morning. They were talking about Duke Carolina and their favorite moments. Neither one of them mentioned a moment before the 1990s. McGee's in his mid-50s. Marty is in his late 40s. I'd like to applaud McGee for reminding the audience of ESPN's controversy with viewers in 1994 when ESPN aired the game on ESPN2 to push subscribers. Not too different than today's world of subscribe to this app to watch this game. But back to my original email. No one ever talks about Duke North Carolina pre-1990. You never see highlights. There are no books depicting anything. ESPN never airs pre-90s B-roll. Daddy wants documentation. This is a heck of a point. It's a heck of a point. He continues, as per my 8th grade Spanish teacher, Gary Williams' daughter, ESPN used Stuart Scott to produce a rivalry that never existed to create college basketball viewership. They wagged the dog right in front of everyone. As Common Man says, before the internet, it was a liar's paradise. It's a great line, and Mike's right. That's me, not him. So I deduce it takes 35 years for a lie to grow to some truth. It's a rivalry. It's nowhere near great. There's no hatred. There's no Jared Sullinger spitting. There's no flag planting. There's no Auburn-Alabama tree killing. Schools are 5 miles apart. God bless. God love and God bless. I remember this when this game was on ESPN2 and they launched ESPN2 with this. And it's a good use of Wag the Dog, which is a very, very funny movie. What we always refer to it as is agenda setting, right? So it's important because we tell you it is. And I do think Duke Carolina basketball in the 90s, in its partnership with ESPN and Dick Vitale, elevated it. I think he's right. I have no recollection of Duke Carolina in the 80s.
I think this is probably right that maybe we didn't know about it, but also before then, TV was very regional. You didn't have the national TV where everyone would see it. And also, I don't know, Bo. I have not. My history with Ohio State, Michigan isn't as great as some, but Michigan kind of dominated the early years of the rivalry. I wonder if Ohio State Michigan was that rivalry before Woody and Bo, because Duke Carolina, you could say, Krzyzewski and Dean Smith,
right,
maybe made it a rivalry and put it on the map, kind of like the 10-year war with Woody and Bo. So I wonder if it was always kind of a rivalry down there. And then those two coaches coming in, taking both of those programs to national prominence, and that coinciding with ESPN and national broadcasts and TV was all just kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, and what's the one important part to the Woody Bow conversation and the Coach K, Dean Smith conversation? They were both good.
Yeah, winner went to the national championship.
Yes.
Loser, that stakes. Was done.
You like, have to have stakes.
It's absolutely correlated with the people that you had in the coaching positions, the talent you had on the field, on the court. Yeah, ESPN, I think, absolutely knew what they were doing when they said these two teams are consistently competing for the whole thing.
Yeah.
They have insanely passionate fan bases, and they've got two of the best coaches to ever do it. So it only makes the most sense. to market those things as much as you can. And yeah, to the point of driving subscribers to cable buys for ESPN2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It only makes sense. But yeah, those rivalries don't happen unless there's legitimate stakes involved with this.
Of course.
Every single year.
The best example of this is CBS's SEC package for 30 years. That's what they did. They told you it was the most important game of the week, every week. And over 25 years of hearing it, you start to believe it. But you have to have the winning.
I think we need to cut this segment, this clip, this email, and send it to Jacob Reimer.
He's listening.
We've got to instead just say, yeah, it's UNC Duke doesn't matter. It's all propaganda from the worldwide leader. Mickey Mouse can go to hell with his Tobacco Road showdown. That's the clip you send to Jacob Reimer. That's our take on this.
That's sky blue, not Carolina.
Yeah, it's like Robin. Come on.
This is here's another hoops one. The subject matter is Anthony Thompson. Tim writes, BB, why do we never hear anything about the high school performance of Anthony Thompson up in your neck of the woods? He's the number 7 high school recruit, goes to tiny WRA. He's only played about 6 games this year against none of the state's top competition. Is he the real deal? Instagram posts look pretty skinny, clearly playing smaller opponents. How about a drive over to Hudson and give us the deal on this guy? I've seen him. He's done camps with my boys, the 2 little ones. I've met Anthony. Western Reserve is a private boarding school, and the schedule that they play is an elite prep school schedule. So the teams that they play, like the Spire Academy and the other prep teams that they play, if you go watch one of their games, you will see upwards of a dozen Division I basketball players in it. But they are not OHSAA, so there isn't many instances where he has played, I guess what I'll refer to as terrestrial high school players, because he's at a prep school. So this is the thing. I mean, I know that program was in on Darren Peterson before he went to Huntington Prep, because they can compensate. You know, I'm pretty sure they have an Adidas deal, so they can compensate that, and that's the way that it works. He's long. He's every bit of 6'10". He shoots it really, really smoothly. From a body type standpoint, he's not like from the realm of like DeBonsa or Boozer. He doesn't have that type of build to him. But he's a local Central Ohio kid, and he's just been up there. But I've seen him play a bunch. My kids have done, you know, some training stuff where he's been a part of it, and he's a nice player.
Bo, I think he's from Lebanon, right? Down near Cincinnati.
I believe that's right.
So a little south of Central Ohio. I've only seen some clips of Anthony Thompson. I've never seen him in person. Mm-hmm. And he is very slight. The one thing that I will say about him, when I was watching that Ohio State-Michigan game last weekend, Anthony Thompson reminds me, and I'm not saying he's as good as them, but reminds me of some of those Michigan guys, because he's just super long. He's like 6'9" with a long wingspan, and he's really, really long.
The length is an attention getter.
Yeah.
And he really shoots it smooth. I mean, he's got some growing up to do into his body, but they'll get that sorted. But just in terms of, like, roll him out off the bus, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that looks like, you're right. I like the Michigan comparison in that their guys are all 6'10". There's kind of that feel to his game.
Think like body-wise, think like Jason Singleton with 3 more inches on him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody. I can't think of anybody who's come through here who has kind of his skill set. But he's every bit a 5-star of what you would want that to be, with the length and all of the stuff that goes with it. He's a really nice player. Now, he's not going to be shot out of a cannon like Darren Peterson was when he plays. Like, it's not like that, where he just go get a bucket anytime he wants. That he's not that type of player. He's a 4, kind of a stretch, classic stretch 4. But he really shoots it well, and he's got great length. So, we've seen him a lot. All right, lots more on this. We've got some Valentine's Day stuff. We've got the return of Bad Take Bake, allegedly, as well. That's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Man once shaved Timmy's leg live on the air. Tune in weekdays at 3 to see what else they'll shave.
Wait, what else they'll shave? Who the hell wants to listen to that?
Common Man and Timmy. Smooth as silk.
Okay, The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today, with our daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, expected to be partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 20s. And then we end the work week with more sunshine and daytime highs climbing into the low 40s. We'll be with partly sunny skies on Valentine's Day with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. Still some time for Valentine's Day, fellas. They'll take care of you. All right, let's get back to the mailbag. Some good ones here. This one is from Brendan, and Brendan gets the show. Three things for Thursday's mailbag. What up, Unc? Flubie protocols are starting to help your voice turn the corner. My hunch is both the California sunshine and Bacon Reese keeping the radio program within the navigational beacons also helps you recover faster. I would agree, parenthetically. Here's another three things via email. Number one, much like you, I'm the biggest Varsity Blues fan, and I'm so distraught James Vanderbeek passed away after a 2-year cancer battle. Rewatching all the clips of his lines like, I don't want your life. Let's be heroes, and running the oop-de-oop play to piss off Bud Kilmer on Twitter have gotten me really in the feels. It's a shame Vanderbeek, Ron Lester, who plays Billy Bob, and Paul Walker, who played Lance Harbor, are all gone far too soon. I'm going to table that because I want to do a longer discussion on that in a second. Number two, do we have an update on Big Papa Bishop in the Big Sky Country? Can you imagine the shenanigans he's getting into with 70-degree Montana weather? Well, let's just say calving season was a little bit better. Now, he don't do much of that anymore, but when it's not 20 below, that helps.
I just picture him riding his buggy with a six-pack of Yellow Jackets, just having the time of his life.
You have the only difference between what you just described and his reality is it would be Miller High Life, not Yellow Jackets.
I'm good with that, too.
That's the only change. Like, the idea that he's got this stupid buggy that he drives around, I mean, it's unbelievable.
I hope he's using the bottles, videos. Too.
He goes, we don't have Amish in Montana, but we have Hutterites, which is, it's kind of a similar, they live in communities and a little bit of a similar vibe to them, except they have like no technology. They're not supposed to have any, is kind of the way that it goes. And he'll like send me a video of how he loaded up the wagon and went to the Hutterite colony and gave little kids rides on it. And I go, well, that's a nice thing to do, Pop. I don't know that that's the best way you should be using your time, but whatever makes you happy. My God, you're damn near 80. Like, live your life the best you want. But, like, the guy just wants to live in 1864. That's all he wants. That's all he wants is to do that. Finally, number three, Bishop and Friends has the beard off in the bag if you follow the following conditions. So the beard off between us and Rothman and Ice. Category, full natural beard styled beard mustache, partial beard or goatee. Grooming, clean lines, sharp cheek line, jawline, neckline, health and density of beard, i.e. no patches, Cole's baby face, style, symmetry, clean oil, wax work, no product clumping, presentation, the smile with facial hair, confidence, how the beard fits or doesn't fit the person's personality, how one carries themselves with a beard. Just some jot down thoughts on beard competition, but like I said, the hang around the beard off the banner for Bishop and Friends. Enjoy the time away in California with the blonde and the boys. Hopefully the pure suck of the travel industry doesn't rear its ugly head from your mouth to the travel industry god's ears on that one. Yeah, I like that he's got rules here on the grooming part of it. I mean, I think that's going to be a big part of it. Rothman had a great line. I thought he called himself a wire-haired terrier.
That's an incredible pull out of him.
That's a great job out of him.
Also, if we're going to have these rules, we can't be like college coaches and just ignore them for our own gain.
No.
We all need to agree.
You have to apply. How do you win a beard off?
You put it to the vote.
It's going
to
be a judge in somehow, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of barbershop in town that would want to be a part of this and maybe do the judging. And
someone shaved T-Bone live on the air. I forget which.
Oh, my God. When he was all slicked up.
I forget which barbershop had that.
I think it
honor.
Was the Hammer and Nail that had just opened up in Lewis Center. I believe that was the one.
Yeah. That I miss those old school things. Like if you watch like The Godfather and you go in and you get a little rub down and then you get a shave and all of the stuff that goes with it. Like those type of places are pretty great. I haven't been to one in a long time.
The single blade with the leather strap to keep it sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's an experience. This one from Russ, the subject matter, no gift for wifey. Hey guys, after 30 plus years of marriage, I've come to find out that when she says, don't get me anything, she means it. About 3 Christmas ago, I guess, we decided that we were not buying presents for each other. For 27 years, I've been getting her a Santa Claus of some sort and a small bottle of Jack. What a woman.
Ooh.
Well, in 2023, I begged up a small Santa and a bottle of Jack and put it under the tree. Christmas morning comes and presents are passed out and open except my bag for her. I was informed then that we decided not to buy for each other. Needless to say, this was the 3rd Christmas in a row that bag has been unopened and put away with the tree. Maybe next year. Russ, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
It just sits under there.
He sounds like he's got him a keeper, too. I mean, obviously 30 plus years, but...
Right. I mean, that's pretty good. Santa Claus and Jack Daniels. That's a win. All right. This one, just say no advice. This is from the great Scott, who's a prominent realtor in the Austin area and a great human. Loyal listener, has been for years. Your Hey Guys statement included an inquiry about Valentine's Day spot. Do not, under any circumstances, participate on February 14th. It is overcrowded, sensory overload experience, concluding in what can only be described as a price fix robbery. Dinner, if you must go out, is to be celebrated on the 12th and 13th, unless it falls on Friday, like the weekend, or the 15th. But here is the key. Flowers are never to be sent on the 14th either. Instead, a man sends flowers periodically throughout the year, never for an occasion, when the gigantic bouquet is inevitably squired around an environment with other women present, and the card inside reads, just because. I can guarantee there will never be an expectation of overpriced Valentine's Day experience. How he does things his way, she says, it's undefeated. I would tell you this is great advice. I think this is very great advice. I think the only thing I would add, Scott, is she has to be on board with this. In an Instagram posting world of look what John got me, she's got to be on board.
Right. And also with the gift giving, the flower delivering, if she wants to go out for dinner on Valentine's Day, you're going to get those reservations.
Yeah.
For Valentine's Day. Yes, he's absolutely right with the sensory overload, the price gouging, the ridiculousness of the whole thing. But if that's what she wants, or that's what your partner wants, I don't know what else to tell you, but you do it.
So he's absolutely right with the randomness throughout the year. It definitely helps.
Yeah.
With a time like this and you not having as much pressure on you and doing things. Reese, the only thing I will say about what you just said is if you surprise her and take her out tonight or tomorrow night, I don't think she's going to be upset that you don't go out on Valentine's Day itself. If you decide to, you know, just kind of throw the old okey-doke on her and be like, hey, get dressed tonight, we're going out, I don't think she's going to be upset about Saturday.
Let's put that on the poll for the ladies. If your significant other planned a Valentine's Day dinner before, it can't be after. I think after is not, that ain't it. But if your significant other plans a Valentine's Day dinner before Valentine's Day, a surprise, in lieu of Valentine's Day dinner, does that win? We'll have to work on the wording of that, but I think we understand the gist.
I think it does, and I think the surprise...
But you're not a woman, babe.
I know, but the surprise always gets them.
Well, if I'll just, again,
gotta be before.
I will
Reese,
say this:
right?
It has to be before.
Yeah,
and you have to know your partner well enough to know that that surprise is going to work. And also, I'll absolutely say that the most important part about that email was that you have to do some. You'd have to do things all year round. Like the little things all year round can make up for if you don't have the Valentine's Day thing properly prepared. Then the little things have absolutely help, and they're good to do. But the Valentine's Day thing is to each their own. So you can't just blanket statement over it and be like, well, no, this will actually fix it.
No.
Because you don't know that, because to Bo's point, you are a man.
You also have, it's really critical. I'm all for the idea of I'm making deposits year round. Here are my deposit slips. Here are all the things. But again, she has to be a willing participant in that. She has to acknowledge that that's okay. You have to almost run that. You have to have that talk. Like, is this okay? Is it okay that I do this in lieu of this? That's the key to it, is the dialogue. You actually have to talk. This one from an Italian gentleman named Dom in Dublin. My father, Big Lou, gave me advice once. He said, everyone should be married. No one should be happy. To Barry. 2 minutes before, 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Can you do that in his voice? Every time that Dom in Dublin sends us an email, you have to do it in his voice.
Hey, you know, hey, my father, Big Lou, said, he gave me some advice once. He said, everybody should be married. Nobody should be happy. This one from Logan. Bad take, Bake. He was
come
going
on,
good.
Come on, Logan.
Logan said he was going so good until he said, not one, but three AFC North teams would be making the playoffs in 2026. Did you say that?
I did.
Three of them?
Do we think it's that far-fetched?
I do.
I don't think it's that far-fetched.
I do.
We thought three would make it last year, didn't we?
New era. New era. Bunch of new coaches. This is a pretty good one. The subject matter from Rick is, was Baker at BVBB game? So I think this means Buckeye Valley, but this is what he writes. And it looks to me like he sent it this morning. Okay, so here it is. Here it is from Rick. Just wondering if RB was at the BV boys game Wednesday night. I was stretching at half and turned around and sure it was him wearing a Dayton sweatshirt and an OSU hat. If not, he has a twin and that's scary.
My only question to this is, why didn't Rick say hi? If he was so sure it was
you
me.
You were there.
Because I was there. We were watching a family friend who's a senior on the Buckeye Valley basketball team play. And unfortunately, they lost last night to Fredericktown. But we were there. And I have been told this morning, since I saw this email, that Rick is an assistant coach on the girls' basketball team at Buckeye Valley. And they had a hell of a game earlier this week where they almost pulled the upset over Columbus Academy, who's pretty good.
Yeah.
So he should have said something. We could have talked a little bit about it.
I love the idea that after 1 year on this show, Bake, you have now reached celebrity spotted out in the wild status.
This YouTube is ruining everything, Bo.
I'd say it's amplifying it. Your
I
reach,
can't
brother.
Sneak anywhere anymore. How am I supposed to get into trouble?
So I will say this. You're a large human. You're not sneaking anywhere, man.
It's true. It's true.
Tiberi's answer to all of this is dress the same on air as you do in your private life.
Well, I was in shorts and a hoodie.
See? That's it.
So
Tiberi wore a sweater vest for 10 years straight.
Not so
everywhere.
Inconspicuous, huh?
Dom's full suit at Carfagna's.
Yes, absolutely. We did get the email about the passing of James Vanderbeek, which got us thinking a little bit about Varsity Blues and all that goes into that. We'll have a little bit of fun with that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, my friends, stop what you're doing. Put those mock drafts down. Stop yelling at your radio for 5 seconds.
important information is coming your way. The President's Day sale, February 14th through the 16th. It's the Heated Indoor RV Show at RCD RV. Let me say that again. Heated, indoor. You're not freezing. You're not slipping on ice. You're not fighting wind. It's free admission, free parking, hundreds of RVs, thousands in savings. It's this weekend only. This is the last chance RV show savings. All indoors at RCD RV, which means you can shop in comfort while avoiding the muddy, melty snow that is just absurd that has plagued us for the last, feels like 3 months. If you ever thought, man, I should buy an RV, this is your weekend. Go to rcdrv.com for details on that. Before we get into paying some homage to the passing of James Vanderbeek, this one just coming in from Cindy. Several months ago, Bo mentioned one of his favorite ice cream flavors that was only sold at Meijer. What was it? Why am I thinking about ice cream in this weather? I have no idea. Cindy, it was Hudsonville Creamery, and the style of ice cream was a Bananas Foster, which was perfection. Unfortunately, that particular flavor was discontinued. Now, the Hudsonville, they have a bunch of other options, and it's pretty dang good. It's got an incredible mouthfeel to it. But they do not make that one anymore. They ceased making that one, and do not put the mouthfeel clip on social. You hear me, Bick?
Well,
no.
Just because.
You'll have a good mouthfeel.
It's got a great mouthfeel. I mean, it's almost chewy. It's a delight.
I can, with the Hudsonville, Bo, I can vouch for the, what is it, like the triple peanut butter chip?
Yeah, that's a winner.
I believe that is just some fantastic ice cream.
Do they sell that brand in Columbus anywhere?
They do at Meijer.
Okay.
Meijer has it. And they're, it's out of Michigan, and they do like seasonal flavors. It's incredibly reasonable. I would say like a, you know, like a half gallon of it's like $5 or $4. Like it's a really reasonable by like hotty toddy ice cream standards. It ain't that. It's and they usually have a full shelf of it in the Meijers. They have a full one. So, but the Bananas Foster is probably the best ice cream I've ever had in my life. And they stopped making it for some reason. I don't know.
And it will give you a mouthfeel that you've never had before.
Great. So this is what happens. Now he's being spotted in the wild, and now we're immediately turning audio around. This is where we're at.
Well, that's not immediately turned around. We've had that from the first time you said that.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. I've had that for a while.
You've just held the mouthfeel. The passing of James Vanderbeek yesterday. If you are, I was a 90210 guy, and so Dawson's Creek was, I think I was a little too old for Dawson's Creek. I remember it. I definitely watched episodes of it, but it wasn't something that I watched all the time. I was more of a 90210. Reese, were you a Dawson's Creek guy?
I sure was not.
Okay, you weren't either. And Bake, I'm guessing no.
No, I mean, I knew what it was. I'd seen some episodes, but it was not my thing.
It helped launch the CW network as a network. And it became a massive deal among high school kids at that time. And he was the face of it and the front of it. But what I think for most people is he's Jonathan Moxon from Varsity Blues. And Varsity Blues, I remember dropping quite vividly. I remember high school football teams. So for me, I was more of the program when I was in high school and especially at the end of middle school into high school was the one that we watched. Varsity Blues happened after I was done playing high school football. But for the kids who did, Varsity Blues was the coolest damn thing on the planet. It was that show. If you were still playing high school football at that time, that was the show that was the movie that you watched and everything that came with it. And the gifts will live on only forever for James Vanderbeek for that. I mean, I don't want your life, all the Kilmer gifts, all of that stuff is going to live on forever, ever. The sobering part of this and the sad part of this was colorectal cancer that got him. And that's one of those ones that is not entirely preventable, but if you do the things that you're supposed to do, there's a lot of ways to make sure that never happens to you. So that's kind of the lesson in it is hopefully, there are people who are, if you get the critical catch out and you get checked early, it can all be prevented. And, or in many instances, it can be prevented. There's no sure thing, but in many instances, it can be prevented. So that's the heartbreak of all of it. But when I think of him and I think it will be Varsity Blues for most people is And there's not a whole lot else in terms of, you know, career things, but that movie is a seminal movie for kids who love and play football. And it's almost like a rite of passage. I remember, you know, NBC watching it as a seventh grader, I want to say, like before the season started, as like, hey, let's get amped up to play. Like it was like a motivational thing. And I'm guessing that will live on forever. And I'll never forget when Varsity Blues dropped. If memory serves, it was an MTV production, and the first trailer for it was Out of This World. And it had the Foo Fighters song Hero. It had these massive hits, and it had these good looking people, men and women. And it looked like the most fun you could have at the movie theater. And it was probably as successful of a, that's before there was viral. There was no social media. There was none of it, but it was kind of like water cooler. Have you seen the trailer to this Varsity Blues? Like there was a movement that happened around that. If you were of a certain age.
And it's still one of those that you can pop in and it holds. Like you said, showing it to your kids. Like it absolutely something that will, one of the things that'll stand a test of time is, oh, that's something I haven't seen in a long time or even thought about in a long time. Like I haven't thought about Varsity Blues in forever until the news about Vanderbeek yesterday. And yeah, I might have seen an episode of Dawson's Creek, so I don't really have a whole lot there. But
sure,
Varsity Blues is something that I think I might fire up this weekend.
Your attitude's earning you laughs right now, boy.
Bummed that that's the only one that I have accessible right now from that movie, because there's so many. Also kind of ironic that on the heels of that commercial in the Super Bowl, that he dies from colorectal cancer. And, you know, we talked about that commercial and how funny it was and how crazy it is to have a funny commercial about something so serious. And then this happens to him. I didn't even realize he was sick. I guess he's been battling this for a long time. I had no clue. I was shocked when I saw the news yesterday. I can't imagine 7-year-old NBC's reaction to the whipped cream bikini.
Oh, baby.
I mean, I bet his eyes.
Well, he wasn't seven. He was seventh grade.
Or seventh grade. Yeah, I have some seventh standards. Grade. Seventh grade.
I'm not showing 7-year-olds Allie Larder.
I bet you could see his eyes from behind him. They were so big and popped out of his head. But just a classic movie. And it's a movie that a lot of times, like I've said this before, I have the TV on when I sleep. I need noise when I sleep. And a lot of times I'll throw a 2.5 Men on there just because it's something I've seen 1,000 times and it's funny, but I don't need to pay attention to. Wedding Crashers, Tommy Boy, Varsity Blues are all things in there where I'll just pop them on every once in a while as I'm falling to sleep. Just such a great movie. And somebody put a picture out on social media. I saw it this morning, and it's one of the iconic pictures from like the cover of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's in color, except the three of them are black and white.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my gosh, three of those four are gone.
Yeah. The actor who played Billy Bob is gone. Obviously, Paul Walker died in a tragic car accident. And now Vanderbeek. So yeah, three of those guys are gone. It's also an era of, you know, that was pretty good when it came to sports movies. I mean, you had a stretch through the mid-90s and early 2000s where sport as content, I mean, you read Friday Night Lights and you've seen the movie, and I'm assuming you'll start the series, which is incredible. That came a little bit later, but you had the program, you had this, you had Remember the Titans. Like all of this stuff was kind of happening at the same time. And it was probably, my hunch is it was kind of the convergence of like, we could actually shoot and make football look cool on the screen. Like you finally had the technology to be able to do it. And it did look cool. And it was something that was inspiring for kids playing the sport at that time. And I mean, just this is, I'm on Wikipedia. They have like, this is the synopsis, the first paragraph on the synopsis. Now you tell me how this, you see how quickly this is greenlit. In the small town of West Canaan, Texas, Jonathan Moxon is an academically gifted backup quarterback for the 3A high school varsity football team, the West Canaan Coyotes. Despite his relative popularity at school, easy friendships with other players, and a relationship with girlfriend Jules Harbor, Mox is dissatisfied with his life. Wanting to leave Texas and attend Brown, he constantly clashes with his football-obsessed father, Sam. He dreads playing under legendary coach Bud Kilmer, a verbally abusive and domineering authoritarian who believes in winning at all cost. You imagine walking into the to the uh, to the studio and pitching that, how quickly it gets greenlit. Sold. Let's go. Let's go. So that will be forever. That's going to be one of those movies that people are watching 25 years from now. Kids are going to watch it. If you play football, you soak it all up for sure. So rest in peace to James Van Der Beek, and just incredible tragedy. Maybe it could have been prevented. Who knows? But one thing you don't want to know is don't leave that up to chance. Get those examinations. Get screened for all of that stuff as soon as you possibly can. If you are of a certain age, we'll hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 89-82, the final. Ohio State defeats USC. Let's begin by asking you about the adjustments your team made defensively from the first half into the second half.
Yeah, we adjusted our ball screen coverage on Arenas. He's obviously a really talented player. We didn't do a good enough job keeping him off the line. But, you know, I thought we were able to give him some different looks, which was helpful. And we did a better job rebounding in segments. Especially there down the stretch where we were able to build a lead. I thought our rebounding was critical there in the second half. So, obviously, you know, our field goal percent defense wasn't good enough in the first half, much better in the second half. Proud of our guys and the way they stuck together all game.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
It's the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center.
The team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeyes get the victory, 89-82 over USC. Certainly getting a guy like Bruce Thornton to the free throw line doesn't hurt either, does it, Jake?
You know, the way the game was going, there were a lot of free throws to be had. And, you know, he stayed aggressive. And we were able to put him in spots to really put their defense in a bind. I thought he did a great job reading the paint, 8 assists. 4 turnovers, you know, so really did a good job. I mean, I thought John came back after he got off to a rough start and hurt his fingers, and then you know, he responded well. So Tilly responded better. You know, we had some guy, Devin was high level today, rebounding, scoring, so really proud of our guys.
Jake, in an overall sense, was this the kind of improvement from a physicality standpoint you were looking for?
Yeah, it was better. I think we did a better job. We did a better job on the ball there in the second half. We did a better job on the glass and stretches. So we're not, you know, we are a team that has to continue to get better each and every, just a little bit at a time, each and every time that we're together. And I thought we showed that.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, with more on the way, including the all-new RAV4, totally redesigned to be more capable, totally hybrid to fit your lifestyle, with multiple drivetrain options so you can maximize your weekend adventures or your fuel efficiency. And these new RAV4s are coming soon. Contact your Toyota dealer for arrival timing. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizza, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet,
Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday edition. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Appearing on Cameron Hayward's podcast, Not Just Football, former Steelers All-Pro linebacker Joey Porter Sr. had some words about James Harrison and Ben Roethlisberger speaking out against Mike Tomlin. Then Joey Porter went in on his former quarterback.
He broke the brotherhood. Then Seven definitely broke the brotherhood because, like...
That's the one I don't understand.
The Seven do that did, that we don't talk about...
I know.
...is crazy. Like, out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone and really talk Steeler business.
Yeah.
Because if we talking Steeler business, his ass is foul of all foul.
Whew.
Like, that he's did is foul of all foul. He's not a good teammate. Won a Super Bowl with him, but the person, he's just not a good teammate. Like, he knows that. Anybody in the Steeler building knows that. But we protected him because I've only won one Super Bowl, and that was my quarterback. So do I love my quarterback? Yeah, but is he a good person? No.
Thing or not a thing.
So what's interesting here is Joey Porter Jr. only played with Ben for a couple of years at the beginning of his career. I think he was done in Pittsburgh by 06. Was kind of the end of it. I am not surprised by this. I think most people are aware of Roethlisberger's reputation in and around Pittsburgh. And it seems from the outside looking in that he tried over the last decade to kind of mend some of that. But at the root of it is still a lot of this. You rarely hear this. You rarely hear athletes, you know, talk like this unless you're a long way removed. But, I mean, Joey Porter Jr. stayed in Pittsburgh. His son plays for the Steelers. His son played at Penn State. So, I mean, there's that layer of it, too. It's a thing that he said it. It's not a thing, and it didn't surprise me, the context.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody should be surprised by this with Ross Roethlisberger, just from some of the things that have gotten out in the news with him over the years. It's interesting, though, to hear a former player say it like this. And not only did he say he wasn't a good teammate, he said he wasn't a good person.
Yeah.
And in some more of that interview, they talked about him being a captain and how everybody else got voted captain and he was just kind of given it, but there was nothing about him that was captain material. Just very, very interesting to hear a player just come out and name names like that, pretty much. Just saying, this dude's a bad teammate and he's an even worse person.
Right, yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, I think, has a podcast.
He does.
I wonder if those comments, which, yes, surprising to hear somebody speak out like that. Not surprising, again, just do the Google.
I believe we played some audio from Roethlisberger's podcast right after the NFL draft because he had Will Howard and Jack Sawyer on there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, there you go, yeah.
On Wednesday, the Big 12 announced that ASB glass floor LED courts will be used for official competition in both their men's and women's basketball tournaments. The LED floors have been used for events at the 2024 NBA All-Star Game and in Europe, but ASB Glass Floor and the Big 12 says that the tournament in Kansas City in March will be the first time they're used in the United States. Kansas's Bill Self was asked about it and said, quote, "I'm an old school guy, but this has me thinking of new school ways. And from what I've seen and heard, this is the wave of the future," end quote. The courts have an aluminum and steel spring action design that allows them to mimic the flexibility of a hardwood floor. The LED panels have a ceramic coating with dots etched into the glass for grip and a consistent surface without dead spots or other quirks that can occur with natural wood. Again, I'm reading from ASB glass floor. I have no idea what these floors actually could be. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I think it means that Darren Peterson's not playing in the Big 12 tournament. I can't imagine he's going to get the green light to play on glass. That doesn't seem like something he'll sign up for. So there's that part of it. I guess I'm open to technology improving and things being better. I just know this. I like when a basketball court looks like a basketball court. I cannot stand the NBA when they do the stupid city edition black court. Just make it look like wood. I don't even like the gray one that Ohio State has. I like basketball courts to look like basketball courts. And so this isn't for me. And I don't know if it's for kids either. Like, do kids care? Are my kids going to watch the Big 12 tournament other than Beamsy because he loves Kansas just because they're playing on glass? I can't imagine. But I can also acknowledge that it makes sense that it could be better. Wood warps, wood moves, wood has dead spots. Glass would not. It would be a more consistent surface, I'm sure.
So real quick, because you mentioned it, I miss the state of Ohio at center court on the Buckeyes court.
Yeah.
It's been there for so long. I really miss that for some reason. Bo, you mentioned what they've done in the NBA and like that play-in tournament and whatnot. Yeah. I think this is what's inspired this in the Big 12 to do this, I think I saw. I don't understand why your basketball court has to be a moving billboard. Like, I don't get that. Like, I don't understand why you need it switching in the middle. Maybe that's why you do it, to get more advertisements in. When Reese, you were reading all that stuff from ABS, the two things that popped into my head immediately were like, what are we going to hear about? Because it says this spring technology, these guys jumping higher and it being a competitive, you know, also one team can already jump high. So this is a bigger advantage for them because they can jump higher now, or maybe they're getting spring and they're faster. The other thing I thought of, and you mentioned Darren Peterson, Bo.
Yeah.
It's the first time some guy slips on the glass. Because I'm guessing, I don't know. I would guess it would be pretty slippery, pretty slick. And
well,
you
that's
said there's going to be
ceramic coating with the dots etched into the glass give grip and a consistent surface.
First time somebody blows their knee out on this, here comes a lawsuit.
Yeah. I like wood courts. I don't know.
I always
just
say
like
this.
Like I'm made out of wood. Why do we have to make this better? Was there anybody going, basketball courts aren't good enough? Like, who is doing that? Who is worried about it?
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
That this company, ASB Glassfloor, came to them and said, would you like a free floor?
Sure.
And they said, oh, we don't have to pay for it. They said, you sure don't, but you have to play on it.
Yeah.
I always say this when I get some weird TV angle during gameplay in a game now, and I can't see the game how, you know, we're used to and I want to. I'm like, we've been doing television for how long? Like, and we figured out this is the way to do it because it's best. Quit changing it. Like, leave those, like, basketball has been played this way and on this, like, why are we changing it?
And I think that company, would you like to play on this free court? We'll give you money if you play on it. The Big 12 said, okie dokie.
Yeah, I'm sure what I'm curious for their end game is like, will this lead to people wanting more? Like, will there be college teams that want to do this versus the traditional wood floor? I mean, I don't know. Wood floors seem to have always worked. You know, they seem like they're fine. Final hour of the program up next. We kick it off with Olympic play for Team USA. Is this our best team ever? Zach Werenski in the middle of all of it. We will get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Hey there, it's Bo Bishop here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. It's day 9 of Winter Olympic competition at the Milan Cortina Games. Zach Werenski and Team USA men's hockey begin Group C play this afternoon at 3:10 against Elvis Merzlikens and Team Latvia. Team USA's second in overall medal count with 13. Italy leads in total medals. Norway has the most gold. USA women's hockey plays Italy tomorrow at 3:10 in the quarterfinals. In college hoops, Ohio State remains on the bubble in Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology. The Buckeyes are one of his first four out in the big dance. OSU beat USC 89-82 last night at the shot to improve to 8-6 in the Big Ten. They'll play number 15 Virginia Saturday night in Nashville. Tip-off there is 8 o'clock. As for the 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad, the Buckeyes will host number 20 Maryland Sunday at 2. And in the NBA, the Cavaliers beat the Wizards last night. They enter the All-Star break on a five-game winning streak. This update sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Thursday edition of the program. Mike DeCourcy, sporting news legend, going to join us in about 30 minutes from now on some bracketology, what the Buckeyes did last night, what they need to do here over the next month to make sure that they are dancing by the time we get to a month from now in March. This is what I have been most looking forward to in the Olympics, aside from watching the downhill, which I love. I love watching them. I suppose Super G is similar. I can't really tell the difference. But any sort of downhill skiing, I'm a fan of in the Olympics. But this is, in terms of the sport of it all, this is the one. It's different when it's the Olympics. It's different when playing for country. And it's different when you have NHL players involved in it. And NHL players have been played in the Olympics off and on over the last, 30 years or so in varying degrees, depending on where the Olympics are. This is going to be a special tournament. This is probably the best Team USA team we've ever had. Is that fair, Bake?
Man, it's right got to be right there, because the defense and goaltending on this United States team is pretty ridiculous. Like, the defense and goaltending is better than Canada. Now, yeah. Canada up front is a machine.
Yeah, they got Sidney Crosby on the third line.
Yeah, it's insane. They have, what is it? McKinnon, McDavid, and Crosby.
McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby are their three
boom,
centers.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And Celebrini is on the top line at 19, the top
just
line.
Just a kid out there. There's that part of it. Probably the apex of the Olympic hockey experience, unfortunately, came, at our downfall. And that would have been the golden goal with Crosby and the Ginla and the overtime and everything that went into all of that. And so that was in Vancouver. If you think of the last several Olympiads, so Finland won the Olympics the last time out when they were in Beijing. No NHL players in that one. The year previous to that, it was Olympic athletes from Russia. That was in 2018. How long has Russia been banned from the Olympics? Like, how many years does this go? I mean, this was for cheating. This doesn't have anything to do with Ukraine in 2018. So that was that. Canada won in Sochi in 2014. Olympic players were in that. They were in that.
Correct.
One. Yeah, and then Canada won in 2010, and then Sweden in 06, Canada in 02, and we haven't won since 1980. We have not won gold since 1980. We have not played for the gold medal since 2010 was the last time that we played for it. This team, though, as Baker said, is absolutely loaded. Zach Werenski is going to be in the middle of all of it. They open play this afternoon at 3:10 against Germany is round one of this thing. Zach was available pre the trip over there and had a lot of let's hear from Mr. Werenski. Let's start on being at opening ceremonies and how that hit.
I think the pride I felt last night walking on the stage last night at the Olympic ceremonies was something I might not ever feel again. It's so many countries are here, all of them, behind their flag with their teammates, with their fellow countrymen, and yeah, it was an incredible experience. I think I've always felt that pride playing for USA, but I feel like last night on that stage, something I've always dreamed of, I definitely had home even harder.
And you're going to have a little jackets on jackets crime today, because in net for Latvia is Elvis Merzlikens. So Zach was asked about starting his Olympic experience against his Blue Jacket teammate this afternoon.
He actually drove me up from the airport after the last road trip, so we talked to Mr. Holrad about that, and I was just asking questions on Latvia and hockey there and whatnot, but we haven't really talked too much about playing against each other. I feel like once we get there and the game starts, it'll just be another hockey game, but it definitely will be me seeing them over there at the Olympics. I think it's always cool having teammates on other teams like that and experience it as well. So that's great for him. It's great for the Blue Jackets. And like I said, once the game starts, it's just hockey.
1 to 10, what's your excitement level for your Olympic hockey?
I don't think I'm at a 10, but I'm probably at a high 8, low 9, right there. I'll definitely be tuned in today to see Zach and Elvis go off against each other, especially now that you know for sure, right, that Elvis is in net. He's starting this first game for Latvia. I'm actually kind of surprised, and shame on me, that I haven't put the Canada game up yet.
It's scoreless right now.
Yeah, they had a goal.
Canada's playing right now.
They're Czech Republic right now. They Canada had a goal taken off the board because of a penalty. Yesterday, was it? I believe it was Italy, and was it Italy and France played, or was it? No, it was Italy and Slovakia played. And Italy was getting outshot ridiculously, but they have a goalie who's a Anaheim Ducks prospect who was just having the game of his life, and he got hurt like the end of the second period, and he already had like 43 saves in the game, and he was just having a tremendous game. And Italy is not one of the teams that is supposed to finish high in this. They're supposed to be one of the teams that finish towards the bottom, but this game was close until he got hurt and the fans were going crazy. It's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, I know the Olympic Games in and of themselves are awesome, but no, the hockey is what's doing it for me.
Yeah.
So this is about a 6 right now, probably 7, closer to 3-10. I know they got when they get into the knockout round next week, that'll be even bigger. Because just there's something about international hockey. So right when you see, you know, Canada play United States in probably one of the knockout round games, like that'll be just an incredible lead up game and then reaction to it.
Is it set up to where they would have to play before the gold medal game? Like, does that even decided yet?
That hasn't been decided yet because they'll go based off of points in group play. So okay. The only teams we know the United States is going to play is Latvia today, Denmark Saturday, and then Germany on Sunday.
Okay. So handle your business in those three. Be the number one overall. And it's, I would assume if Canada is the number one overall in their pod, then you wouldn't potentially have to do battle until a gold medal game is kind of the thought. Have you seen anything in terms of the lines and the pairings?
So the U.S. has kind of switched theirs up quite a bit. I don't think they've announced them officially.
Okay.
I do think on the defensive side of things, you're going to see Zach Werenski technically on the third pair with Jake Sanderson. Those two kind of towards the end of the Four Nations ended up together.
Okay.
And we're doing well. I think they want to keep Slavin and Faber together. And then Hughes and McAvoy will be that top pair. So Zach's technically going to be on the third pair, but he's also on the power play. I think the power play number two unit. Zach is going to be the point man on that.
Okay, and then Hellebuck's going to start in net for us, and so we'll go from there. Interesting to see like what they do with it. I mean, we don't have Canada's forward talent certainly, but Eichel, Matthews, Larkin isn't bad.
And
along with the Tkachuk boys and Guentzel and everything else.
And I believe you mentioned Eichel. The one thing that has stayed the same, it seems like, in practices for the U.S. team, is Eichel's going to be between the Tkachuks on that top line.
It's the ultimate goon line.
So it's Eichel and the two Tkachuks?
Yeah.
That's great.
By the way, if you want, I think it's 40-1, Zach Werenski, MVP of the tournament.
That's nice.
If you want.
The way he's playing, his form... I understand. I can't imagine being an owner of one of these teams and
holding your breath.
Yeah. And you're the McConnell family and you own the Blue Jackets and you have this stretch of play where you've played lights out and you're one of the hottest teams and you have to hit pause for 3 weeks. And then you hope that there is, you pick up right where you left off. Now you're not the only one. The whole league has hit pause, but you're down for 3 weeks and you were playing well. And so now you sit and wait. And then you're also saying, good God, please no injuries. I mean, the best players on the planet are all over there, and this would absolutely impact, whatever comes in the Stanley Cup that follows. Think about the wear and tear that's going to be on the players who are playing this, because from a motivation standpoint, you're not going to get anything from a play your rear end off level more than playing for country. So if you're in Team USA, your Team Canada, whatever team you're on, it is your all in as possibly can be. But at the same time, you also have to acknowledge that for the health of your sport, this platform is a 10 out of 10. I mean, this is the NHL could come out of this. I mean, you thought the Four Nations was something. This is going to be that times a billion over the next 2 weeks.
To your point. So they've got the bronze medal game already scheduled for next Thursday at 8:40 in the morning. They have the gold medal game, the time at 1:10 p.m., but they do not have a date for it. And I think they're waiting on that for obvious reasons.
What? Run that back for me, Reese. So when
next,
do they have the gold?
Next Thursday, February 19th, will be the bronze medal game. And okay. That's already scheduled for an 8:40 Eastern time start.
A.M.?
A.M., correct.
Okay.
The gold medal game, they have at 1:10 to start on a day to be determined.
Okay. So you're going to get... You probably want to see where that shakes out.
Yep. I'm guessing they probably want that on a weekend.
I'd say Saturday, if you were going to say right now on what it'd be February 21st.
That would be the day.
It would be weird. Maybe they want to do it Friday night in prime time.
Well, they can't do it live, though.
Yeah, they couldn't do it live. They're 6 hours ahead,
six
I think,
hours
in the
ahead.
Line.
Yeah, so you can't do it at, you know, probably the closest you could. You're not starting something at 10 o'clock local Italian time for a 6 o'clock Eastern puck drop. So you're not going to get that. So I think you're right. I think you want a Saturday afternoon. If you can stretch it to there, you get to a Saturday afternoon and hope for the best. And then maybe you get like a 2 o'clock puck drop or 1 o'clock puck drop, you know, on the East Coast on a Saturday. That's probably the best you can hope for. But it'll be fun. And Team USA is wearing the 80 jerseys, aren't they? Like the bright blue.
They are wearing bright blue.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are the USA ones. Go ahead.
Two things for Jackets fans in this. It is kind of cool seeing some of the Jackets that used to play here, like Dean Kukan playing for Switzerland and Calvin Thurkoff mm-hmm. on that team, Alexander Texier playing for France, if you want to keep up with some of those guys. And then the other thing, there seems to be a big buzz with some of the pictures going around of Team USA, where okay. people are... Just some hockey people are like, we forget about how big Zach Werenski is. Like he's 6'2", 210, 215 pounds. I think that's taken some of these guys aback. Like just how big he is and the way he's still able to play and look so smooth and fluid skating the puck. It's that just for some reason seems to be something hockey people are talking a lot about right now.
Where's that picture going around of him next to your dear friend, Mr. Dog?
Oh, yeah. Deputy Miss Uncle Dog.
Snoop Dogg is, it's one of my favorite things that's come on in recent years is his fandom with U.S. Olympic teams.
The idea that Mr. Dogg.
Doggy style.
That's right. Has become like a almost like child proof. Well, you certainly can't say anything negative about Snoop Dogg. Like he's apolitical. There's nobody has a beef. Like the idea that Snoop Dogg is the one who just universal approval. Remarkable.
I just want Zach to be careful. I don't want him failing any drug tests just from being in that realm.
Contact high, you say?
I don't think they do that anymore, right? It's all legal.
They might in the
nothing
NHL.
To see here.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to see here. So Team Canada playing right now. Team USA playing a little bit later on this afternoon. Keep you updated on this. Take a look at where we sit. From a bracketology standpoint, all of these things kind of converging at once. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Men, the new year is here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today with our daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, expected to be partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 20s. And then we end the work week with more sunshine and daytime highs climbing into the low 40s. We'll be with partly sunny skies on Valentine's Day with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s.
For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
My friends, you are 2 days out. Valentine's Day, showing her how much she means to you. And when you're buying jewelry, you don't guess, you go with the best. That's why I trust my friends at Diamond Seller. Whether it's a necklace, bracelet, earrings, something a little more personal, Diamond Seller makes sure you get it right. For nearly 80 years, they've helped guys find the perfect gift with luxury designer collections, expert advice that makes the process easy, and guy to guy, there's no pressure, no confusion, just great options, honest help. This Valentine's Day, and really any day, give her something special she'll never forget. Diamond Seller, Salmo Road, Easton Town Center, online anytime at DiamondSeller.com. Team Canada on the board, Bick?
That is correct. With like 5 seconds left to go in the first period, Cale Makar with a rocket from the point that was tipped by a defenseman and then knocked down and in by Macklin Celebrini, the 19-year-old.
He was not viewed on the Bedard level. Fair?
Very fair. He was a notch or two below.
Right.
And there might have
or
even
so
been,
we were told.
There might have even been some that said like he would have been third in that draft behind Carlson and Fantilli.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody said that, but I think there were some. He's outkicked all expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been an absolute stud. So Team Canada underway on that. When we were doing the research on the ice hockey at the Olympics and, you know, when the NHL guys came around and what the boost that did and when it lines up and you can play, you know, obviously they're not sending them to the Far East. That doesn't make any sense. But anytime that you can, you want to be able to have the Olympic, you want to have the NHL players in the Olympics. I grew up an hour and 10 minutes from the Canadian border. I'm going to pose a question to you, and I don't expect you to know the answer to it, but I'm curious I'm curious your answer. When do you think Canada went to the maple leaf as the flag?
After World War II, 19...
Good guess.
50s.
Good guess.
And I would have guessed like the 1930s.
Can I interest you in 1965?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Their flag before that was, you know, British territory. So the flag before that was, you know, kind of, it was a red background with a Union Jack in the upper left corner and then a crest that was a coat of arms. And it had some maple leaves on it and a harp, some birds and so forth. But it wasn't until 1965 that they went with the true maple leaf flag. That's pretty recent history. I would not have had that at all. Excited to get that going and Team Canada off and running on that side of things. Much of the program today has been in the discussion of March Madness, which will happen next. We are in this spot now, post Super Bowl, where you're getting these marquee kind of one-off sporting events that hold on by their own. All the while, the NBA is going on. We had James Harden make his Cavaliers debut last night. And so the NBA is going on. It's All-Star Weekend for them this weekend, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What are they doing for the game? Do you know, Reese?
I have no... Is it USA, the world, or USA, Europe, International?
Are they
doing
that? I think
the teams. I have no idea even where it is, to be honest with you. I just know that tomorrow night, they've got the Lay's All-Star Celebrity Game is the lead-in to Battle of the Bricks on ESPN.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this one has fallen off. This one has fallen off. Do you remember how bad it was last year? The NBA All-Star game with where they would play like those, remember they'd play like those mini games and then cumulative points and all of that. And that league is fighting any way they can to try to drum up, give a damn from their players, whether it be in the All-Star game or quite honestly, even the regular season. We played that bite from Christopher Mad Dog Russo yesterday, and most people are complaining about that. I heard Bill Simmons talking about it on his podcast, and he's one of the biggest NBA supporters you're going to find, but saying like the NBA has a regular season problem in that it's too long. There's too many guys getting hurt and guys just simply aren't playing. I think you had the entire Lakers, like every reason you'd have to watch the Lakers play, all of them are sitting out, like no Reeves, no Luka, no LeBron in their game against San Antonio. You've heard people say, well, you fine them for that. You do this, you do that. I really don't know what the answer is, but in the meantime, they have to deliver an all-star weekend to their television partners, and it has to be something that rates. They're going to have a hard time up against the Olympics this weekend, obviously. But so you'll go from this. The golf is starting to get fired up. They're at Pebble Beach this week, I believe, is where they are. So you have the Olympics, you have the NBA All-Star this weekend. You have the golf is on the West Coast swing, so that always makes you feel warm when it's cold this time of year. That will lead into March Madness. That will lead into the Masters, which comes after that. You're going to get spring football in the mix there. But right now is a street fight for your attention. What are you going to watch when it is cold and you're looking for something on a weeknight? What are the things that you're going to watch? And I've said this before, but to me, the thing I'm gravitating to most, even with the Olympics going on, unless it's a ski event, I'm gravitating towards college basketball. And it's been an incredible season of it. It really has. Like almost every single night, there is a game that stands out. And I think college basketball, for me, this is anecdotal, but for me, it feels like it is annihilating the NBA right now in terms of dialogue around it, in terms of who's watching it. And some of this is stuff that's empirical that we have data for. Some of those, that Friday night Fox game, that thing rates. That thing will do 2 million. The Kansas Arizona game did big numbers on Monday night. Like, we're looking for things to watch, and right now college basketball is kind of feels like it's kind of winning.
Here's your Big 12 follow-up on Saturday at 1 o'clock on ABC, Kansas at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Even without Darren Peterson, that's still must-see television for college basketball fans and for the general flippers out there. You know, you'll have USA Hockey at 3 o'clock on Saturday, but yeah, to your point, like this is an all-out blitz for attention. And college basketball is kind of hitting all the right buttons.
And I think it's interesting. We talked about the Utah Jazz this week, and I'm just seeing the news now that Jaren Jackson's going to miss the rest of the year.
Oh, they shut him down.
With a knee injury. And I'm sure it is like something maybe he could have played through, but they're like, nah, don't worry about it. We're good. Just go get it fixed now. But I think it's a slippery slope college is on right now with like this Darren Peterson situation. And I don't know how they take care of it, but I think you need to, because I think one of the things that has turned people off with the NBA is the load management.
For sure.
And the season being long, and it doesn't seem like these guys care. They play a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end. And I think when that starts sliding into the college game, I think, gosh, especially the heater you're on right now, you don't want anything being negative, taking attention off of what's going on the court.
I think the only person that could force any matter on the Peterson issue is Adidas. I mean, that's truly the only thing. And even that, I think, is probably pretty flimsy.
Because then you can just go to Nike.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that he's got a long-term Adidas deal, and that's part of it. But they're the only ones who could push back. I mean, I think Self is... I don't know what he could do. And nobody else has done this. Like, DeBonta's not doing this. Boozer hasn't done it. Cooper Flagg didn't do it. Knepel didn't do it last year. I don't know if the Rutgers guys did. If Dylan Harper and the other kid from Rutgers, I know that they didn't win anything.
They might have towards the end of the season because Rutgers was bad.
They were bad, and they had two top, what, six picks?
Yeah.
And they didn't get anything out of it. That's the other part of it is the one thing that you cannot argue about Peterson is when he plays, he's the best player on the court. So he's delivering when he plays. He just doesn't play all the time, but when he does, they deliver and it manifests and wins.
And for Adidas, they're interested in the long play.
Sure.
They're not terribly interested in how he does in 1 year at Kansas.
No.
Because they know he's going to go to the NBA and be a lottery pick, if not the first overall pick. So I think for them and what they are interested in is protecting their asset. And I also think there is agency that some of those, you know, those players have. And do you want to play or do you not? And, you know, I think this goes back to that text exchange with that ESPN scorekeeper that was caught on video. He said he was sick and not feeling it. And Bill Self said, if you're not going to play 100%, don't play.
Yeah.
And Self, like I've been saying, is really one of few that are equipped to deal with that kind of situation, because that kind of a distraction doesn't matter, because you're Bill Self in Kansas. You just went out and scored the biggest upset in college basketball this season, or at least one of them.
Yeah. And the other, that's why I come back to Adidas, because I would imagine that Kansas is on the short list of the most important Adidas programs. I mean, they're it. They're their Cadillac. So like, that's the one common thing is Adidas. Adidas compensates Darren. Adidas compensates Kansas. Adidas compensates Bill Self. That's where potentially there could be a fix in some way. You got about a month left of this. We'll see where it all tracks. Mike DeCourcy's been covering college basketball for an awful long time. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on this, among other things, coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Always a treat when we get ahead on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a conversation with Mike DeCourcy, the legend, College Basketball Fox, Big Ten Network, and of course, the Sporting News is where he is, and he joins us now. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time. This is a street fight for everybody in terms of attention, right? The NFL ends, the Super Bowl ends, then where's our attention going to go? And I've made the argument over the last couple of weeks on this show that your attention ought to be on college basketball, because, Mike, I think it's about as good a year as we've had in recent memory. So many buzzer beaters, so much talent, such a depth of talent. You've seen a lot of it. What have you make of what we've seen so far on the college hardwood?
Yeah, what has happened over the course of the last 2-3 years is that players, scores of players I'm talking about, I'm not talking about one or two guys, I'm talking about 20 to 40 guys who in previous years, probably principally from 2015 to 2022, say, had just gotten to the point where they believed that they had to get some money out of the game, and it wasn't coming at the college level. And yeah, the scholarship and all that mattered, but at some point their careers were finite and they had to make some money playing, and so they would leave and take their shot, and most of them weren't good enough and wound up in the G League, where they didn't make that much money. But those guys are now saying, nah, man, I'm not leaving here. This is great. I get my college, I get food, and then I get paid too. So those players are now in college basketball, and we're adding into it in this particular year, one of the greatest freshman classes in the history of the sport. As a matter of fact, I have a story that I just wrote today that appeared on sportingnews.com. You can find it on my Twitter at TSN Mike, comparing it, this group of AJ DeBonta and Cameron Boozer and Darren Peterson and Darius Acuff and so many tremendous players to the best classes, to 2007 with Kevin Love and OJ Mayo and Michael Beasley and that group, Derrick Rose, and 1995 when Kevin Garnett came out, didn't get to play in college, but also Stephon Marbury and Vince Carter and Anton Jameson and all that bunch. And then the gold standard, the 1979 class, James Worthy, Ralph Sampson, Isaiah Thomas, Antoine Carr, just a ridiculous group. And Clark Kellogg, by the way, don't want to leave out Clark, who would have been a Hall of Famer if his body hadn't betrayed him. There just so many tremendous players in the 79 group.
I appreciate you doing that. I guarantee you Clark is listening, and that put a smile on his face. So that's that special K is as good as it gets. He's our guy
He's a Hall of Fame guy. Yes. So at least there's no doubt he has that.
Yes, he does, my friend. You mentioned that freshman class, and my God, is it talented. You see the tanking that's happening in the NBA for it. Darren Peterson's a local kid. He's an Ohioan. We've been familiar with his game for a long time. He's the best high school basketball player I've ever seen in person. What is going on at Kansas is something else, though. And there is, it's become hot button this week. I think it's the best job Bill Self has ever done because, Mike, I think he's coaching two teams, truly. What do you make of that?
It's hard to know what to make of it, and I'll tell you why. Because the only way that Darren Peterson isn't the number one overall pick in this draft is if the NBA team that gets into that position, whoever it might be, looks at it and says, I don't know if he's going to stay on the floor. They got 35 games down there, and some of them, I mean, out of 35, maybe 7 or 8 aren't even games. You're playing St. Francis or whatever. So he can't get through that. And I gotta get him out there on the floor for 82. And if we're going where we want to go, it's 100. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing that would keep him from playing. So if indeed there were anybody that were influencing him not to play when he is slightly impaired, but not in a position to further injure himself, then whoever that person or group of persons might be is the one that's introducing risk into this. Now, if he's legitimately unable to play, and none of us knows.
No, we don't know.
Then he's the unluckiest freshman I've seen in 2 decades.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. And you can't argue when he's on the court, they're better. But then Self has this second team that, you know, just beat Arizona.
Right. And they've played very well at other times without him. And at other times, you know, there have been times when they didn't have a formula yet for how to play without him because they spent most of their time trying to work on a formula to play with him. And playing with him is not easy. It's not like, okay, well, he's great. And so you just put him out there and he does his job. Like if he were a center, It wouldn't be, but because he is a ball dominant guard, well, the ball has to be in his hands for him to be great, and that changes everybody else's role, and so it's a challenge. And they have, when they got through the Texas Tech game, a night where he didn't play his best, but he made two ridiculous shots to win the game. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, they got it now. And then the Arizona game comes along, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody's ready to see this game, and then he doesn't play. And said the thing that's most bothersome about his absences is how frequently they coincide with the biggest games. Mm-hmm. And that's another concern. Again, he may just be really unlucky, but the fact that the bad luck keeps coming and intersecting with the BYU showdown with A.J. DeBonsa, he plays first half, fabulous. Then he doesn't play the whole second half. Mm-hmm. It's just this is not something like I've ever seen before in college basketball.
No,
and I've been doing it for almost 40 years. So.
you've been doing. If you haven't seen it, buddy, it hasn't happened. I think that's fair.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's talk about our team around here. A win they had to get last night against USC. They got Virginia on Saturday. By most people's estimation, they're bubble in, bubble out, which is kind of where the program's been for the better part of a decade around here. In all the years that you've been doing this, this is what I'm curious your answer to. If you are Jake Diebler, what is your target in terms of what this team has to do over the next month to make sure that they get in, which is a stated goal of the team this season?
Of course. Well, first of all, you look at the schedule and what's remaining, and I think that Virginia game is enormous because you don't have to deal with the road, and you have to travel, but you don't have to deal with playing at John Paul Jones Arena. You're playing at Bridgestone in Nashville. Everybody's got the same shot there. And so that and Virginia is a high-level team in terms of where they stand now. I've had them as a 4 seed for the better part of a month, but I don't. I saw Northwestern play them early in the year. I think they're really good and really efficient and playing at a very high pace and all that. But I saw Northwestern play them and almost beat them. So I know that they're not out of Ohio State's reach. Like when Michigan came in Michigan would have had to play really poorly for Ohio State to take them down, even at home. But Virginia, I think they can punch with that team. Not literally, guys, but I think they're in that. And so that, to me, is an opportunity. And if that one doesn't go, then I think they have to beat Wisconsin at home, because then they go on the road for two quad one games at Michigan State and Iowa. And I just don't know if if you can't get either Virginia or Wisconsin, I don't know that I would be super excited about them getting those two done on the road. So I'm it's hard to put numbers on it, and sure, I'll tell you why. Because everybody that's in their neighborhood is similarly flawed and as likely to lose a lot of their remaining games as the Buckeyes might be. But you have to take care of opportunities, and these next two, I think, are. I don't think you have to win them both, although it would be really helpful. If you win them both, then you're starting to look back at people instead of look up.
Yes.
And so I think that's that. But I think you have to get one of the two, or it really starts to get desperate.
Mike, there is another team in our vicinity, not our direct viewing area, but the last undefeated team in the country is Miami, Ohio. Now, Mid-American Conference fans have said this should probably be, you know, for years have wanted a second bid. Akron, by the way, is 10-1 in the league and 19-5. Our buddy John Gross coaching that team. Is this the year that the MAC could get two?
Well, you know, if I'm a fan of the MAC or a fan of Miami, the only people that should want them to get two are the Akron fans.
You're right.
Or any other, because honestly, if maybe Kent State, but anybody other than Akron or Kent State beats these guys, and I think at that point you start to worry a little bit. Like I've been talking about relative to the remainder of their regular season, I think they have to go into the MAC tournament undefeated to feel like they've got a shot. I'm not saying it's impossible, but to feel like they've got a shot in at large, I don't think they can lose in the remainder of their regular season, because none of them isn't a terrible loss.
Mm-hmm.
They're all rated in the net 170 or higher, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. A lot of 200s in there. So it's hard to explain that away. I mean, I remember when Monmouth in 2017, I think it was, had a schedule that included games against USC and Georgetown and Notre Dame, and they beat all those teams. And I don't think any of the teams they beat was very good, but they were all high majors and they were all respectable. They weren't like 1-25 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they ended up losing three games in the league on the road, and they didn't take them as a result. And I thought that was harsh, and maybe they wouldn't take them in the net universe as opposed to the RPI universe. I'm not sure how it would have impacted them. But now you look at this and you see what's left. And I think if you get to the MAC tournament undefeated and you lose to either Kent or Akron, I think that it would be a disgrace. And I will say that on the record, and I will say that in print at one mm-hmm. point. It would be a disgrace if that scenario developed and they didn't get in. But if they lose to, I don't know, Buffalo or something in the quarters, sure, then I think they start to sweat, because that loss is harder to explain away. I will say, though, that, I mean, if they're 34-1 and they don't get in because of the schedule, I think that would be pretty ridiculous. We just don't see 34-1 every day. I don't care who you're playing. You're not playing high school teams. I mean, the MAC is a good conference.
Yeah. Great stuff, Mike. Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time today. And folks, make sure to read that story on this freshman class. Mike's got the perspective on it. And you want a little bit of history on how this got here and how special it is, make sure you check it out. Appreciate you, Mike.
Thanks, Bo.
All right, there he goes. Mike DeCourcy, one of the deans of college basketball conversation at Fox and Big Ten Network and at the Sporting News, joining on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do three things on a Thursday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ball Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Ohio State football.
Impact Report.
With All-American safety Caleb Downs declaring for the NFL draft, Ohio State added safety Zur Little Jr. from Florida State and Terry Moore from Duke, a player head coach Ryan Day praised for his playmaking abilities.
He's a dynamite player, electric player, has great range, somebody that came in to Duke and believe played running back coming in and then moved to safety. And I think he's going to really compliment Leroy. He's going to compliment Jalen McClain, who to me had a great year last year. And so that was really, really important.
Day added Little, son of 8-year NFL safety Earl Little Sr., will add versatility in the secondary.
Similar to the way Caleb was, where he could come down and play nickel, he can play safety. Somebody that Brandon Ennis and the guys down in South Florida were very familiar with. So I think he's been able to kind of understand what the culture is and come in here. His dad was a tremendous player. And when you watch him play at Florida State, I mean, he was running and hitting.
This report brought to you by Safeline Auto Glass. This is Tyler Danberg on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with 3 locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on any new 26 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Common Man here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what on the poll today?
We had a poll that we had asked earlier in this program. Hey, ladies, if your significant other does a surprise Valentine's Day dinner before Valentine's Day, does that work in lieu of a dinner on February 14th? 95% of respondents say yes.
Nice. But I think there has to be dialogue.
I think you at least have to talk about it.
Yeah, you got to let them know that this is... Yeah. All right, that's good. That's comforting to me.
And then the Daily Fan poll is not up on our Twitter. I saw it this morning, and it referenced the basketball Buckeyes.
I saw it this morning, too.
The one at 971 The Fan. You'll have to cross-check me on this one. So I went to the website at 971thefan.com. The Daily Fan poll there says, do you think the Buckeyes will make the NCAA tournament?
Okay.
68% say yes.
Beat UVA.
Then I think you're good.
Yep.
Beat UVA pending you win all of your other games against teams without a number next to their name.
Yep. That's it. Handle your business in that one. All right. Time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, guys.
One, two.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So the boys are off school. They get a little long weekend. So they're off tomorrow, and then they're off Monday for President's Day, and then we pulled him out on Tuesday to head west and get a little bit of sun. So today was the Valentine's Day for young boy Bootsy and his age group. So what that entails is every kid in those grades has to bring a box that they've made at home to house their Valentines. Okay? That's the deal. What no one considered is that 200 kids getting out of cars with big, awkward boxes would make drop-off World War I in the trenches. That's basically what happened. The line was damn near a mile long because we're dropping off two or three at a time because of the size of the boxes. Note to the staff, let's do the Valentine's Day boxes at school so that we do not have this next year at this time. We have to learn and evolve, kids. Learn and evolve always.
They could take a page from the show's playbook. I guess I'll just make this my first thing. We can have a conversation about it. Is they've all got tablets or computers, mm-hmm. right? Just do the digital Valentine's Day. What could go wrong?
Home run.
Or like snap your Valentine's Day.
Yeah, just snap
Valentine's
them up,
baby. Day, everybody. What could go wrong?
Right.
I didn't know they still did the physical Valentine's Day boxes. I always looked forward to that.
Now, they don't do like, you know how we used to do, like you'd do like a little candy or like it would be specifically made out to each kid. No, they do that.
Okay.
But what it basically is you buy a sheet of them that all look the same and you just write your name on them.
Oh.
So, it's not as great as you'd imagine it to be, like, or as it should be.
They still do candy or?
Not much.
Sad.
Yeah, sucks.
First thing for me, I want to apologize to all of you. I lied to you earlier in the show. I am 10 out of 10 excited for Olympic hockey right now.
No,
just watching this Canadian team right now and all of the skill, it is ridiculous. Mitch Marner just made a crazy play where he looked like Bobby Orr setting up. He didn't get the goal, but he set it up on the play. Macklin Celebrini, this kid is freaking amazing. I don't think I even realized how good he was.
Yeah.
Just the skill and how fast this is. I'm 10 out of 10 on the Olympic hockey. I lied. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Going to be fun this afternoon when that all shakes out. I was reminded, number two for me, I was reminded on social that this weekend is the Daytona 500. Is this weekend as well.
Boogity.
Yeah, American Buckeye with that to me. I covered the Daytona 500 for 6 years. Went every year, did speed weeks. I was there for a week. And then I would cover the Daytona 500 and all the lead up to it, all of it. I have not watched the Daytona 500 since. Then I was at six of them in a row, and I've not watched it since. I still think the first 10 laps are really cool, and the last five are really cool. But in between, I got my fill on the Daytona 500.
I don't think I've ever actually watched, other than maybe a minute or two, of what it's America's race. Is that what they used to call it?
Thanks, maybe.
The Great American Race.
Yeah.
And it's just weird that it's in February of all places. At 971 The Fan on Instagram, you will see friend of the program, Tyvis Powell, getting lined up in the parking lot by his barber. Lining up at the sides, lining up the hairline, which is fantastic, by the way, and lining up his beard in our parking lot. That's and I'm so very good. Sad we couldn't get him live out from the parking lot doing that during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, why weren't we informed of this?
I know. Bad job, everybody.
During our show.
But hilarious, and you can see the video on our Instagram.
Second thing for me, and I don't think we're going to get to three, so I'm just going to go ahead and give you this. This is just a big one for AR and the gang.
Let's go.
Gold Jacket Thursday, 2:30 today. Former Buffalo Bill Thurman Thomas.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome. They'll also talk some hoops with Dan Dockich, but Thurman Thomas.
That's awesome. Good job. I am out tomorrow. May the airline gods be kind, and the boys will keep it between the navigational beacons. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up?
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FIRST.